Good evening.
Good
evening. Welcome to worship as we celebrate the Protestant Reformation and Luther's posting of the 95 Theses, as we celebrate salvation and our justification with God, our reconciliation through Christ, by grace alone, in Christ alone, and by faith alone. So we'll be celebrating that tonight. Reformation Day, as you know, is actually All Hallows' Eve, October 31st, and then next week we'll be celebrating All Saints, and that celebration invites us to remember the saints who have departed, gone home to glory to be with God, worshiping Him day and night according to Revelation. And so if you have names of loved ones that have passed away in the last 12 months, please send them as an email or make sure that you call me so that I get the correct spelling and pronunciation, and we'll be remembering them in our prayers next week. Let's sing together our gathering song, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done. Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known. For you are Lord of lords alone. Defend your holy church that we may sing your praise triumphantly. Oh, comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife and lead us out of death to life. Want to give you thanks for your prayers. I received some good news with my CT scan this past week. The cancer hasn't advanced and maybe has shrunk a little bit more. So grateful for all of your prayers and for the goodness of God. Also, I want to share some good news. My son had called me, and a young man that's in high school that had very serious cancer out in Connecticut. His name is Luke Richards. We've been praying for him, and he just received word that he's cancer-free, and he's a devout follower of Jesus along with his family. They believe in the power of prayer. They thank us for the prayers that we offered, and we're praising God for the healing that he's doing in this young man so that he can continue to live his life in the here and now for the praise of God's glory. Also want to wish Denny Demerval a happy birthday. It's his birthday today, and as you know, he's getting a little relief from some of his chemo now and doing better with his cancer, and so we continue to keep him and Margene in our prayers. Tomorrow, Katie Siebenaler is going to be celebrating her birthday, and so we wish her a happy birthday. And then also remember, tomorrow is our Reformation Sunday prayer event. Sounds like we're going to get some snow, so people may not want to go out to the church land. But at 4:31, if you can bow your heads, and wherever you're at, in a car, at home, and offer prayers. And I'll be sending out in the morning sometime some suggested prayers as well. And then in-person men's Bible study this coming Wednesday. It'll be in the Oasis Fellowship Hall. And we're going to begin that time with a brief word for confession and forgiveness, because I know for some people it's been a long time, you know, that we've had to kind of be away from that regular ritual of confessing our sins and receiving absolution. So the men of the congregation that come will just begin with that brief order of confession and forgiveness. And then we'll also be having some communion coming up. We'll try to do that a couple times a month, too, so that we continue to receive the saving grace of God, the body and blood of Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptation. Defend them against all enemies of your word, and bestow upon the church your saving peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We rise as we are able then for our service of light, hold an evening prayer, revised edition. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power. Resurrect us from the dead. Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. Now as evening falls around us, we shall raise our songs to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. In the stars that grace the darkness, in the blazing sun of dawn, in the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet song.
Love that fills the night with wonder,
love that warms the weary soul. Love that bursts all chains asunder, set us free and make us whole. You who made the heaven's splendor, every dancing star of night, make us shine with gentle justice. Let us each reflect your light. Mighty God of all creation, gentle Christ who lights our way, loving Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless day. The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation.
Amen.
Congregation, may be seated for our psalmody. Psalm 141, women will do group one, men will do group two as the echo.
Let my prayer rise up like incense before you, the lifting up of my hand as an offering to you.
God,
I call to you. Come to me now, or hear my voice when I cry to you.
Let my prayer rise up
like incense before you,
the
lifting up of my hand as an offering to you.
Keep watch within me, God.
Keep watch within me, God.
Deep in my heart,
may the light of your love be burning bright.
Let my prayer rise up.
Like incense before you,
the
lifting up of my hand as an offering to you.
All praise to the God of
all praise to the God of all, Creator of life. All praise be to Christ and the Spirit of love.
Let my prayer rise up
like incense before you,
the
lifting up of my hand as an offering to you.
Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading is from Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide and continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I want to remind you that earlier today I was able to put "To Be Continued," which is the children's sermon, on our Facebook page of Emmanuel. So for parents and for grandparents that want to share that time with their little ones, I encourage them to do so. Some things are meant to be continued, and some things are meant to be ended and stopped. And God says, continue in my word. And his word is Jesus. Let's sing together then three verses of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Fortress is our God, who work never failing. Our helper here amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abide. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Jesus in John chapter 8 proclaims these words of certainty. Since the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. If you continue in my words, Jesus says, then the world will know that you are truly, for real, my disciples, not imposters, not fakes. If you continue, remain, abide, if you stay in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free indeed. Sons and daughters of God have a permanent place in the Father's house, but slaves to sin do not have a permanent place. So what does it mean to know the truth? Well, knowing in the Gospel of John or in the Bible is not just a cognitive, intellectual fact, or it's not an accumulation of information. No, truth is not a proposition. It's the second person of the Trinity, and knowing is the relationship that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gives to us who are named and claimed through the blood of Jesus, the right man, the one who became sin for us so that in him we might become righteous, right standing with God. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. In Christ, we are free indeed. Apart from Christ, we have no freedom at all. Now, there are some who talk about free will, and some would say that free will was lost in the garden, or that we had a will, but it wasn't free when Adam and Eve decided to trespass. In other words, not to fall as much as they chose to climb. We call that overreaching. Because when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God created them to be under him with a purpose, to till the garden and to keep it. God created all of us in God's image. But God did not create us to be equal with God or to become self-made gods through our own efforts and desires and the exercising of our wills. So one might truly say that when we overreached, when Adam and Eve climbed, they actually exercised not a free will, but a captive will. How free are you? How free am I? How free are any of us? Well, we confess in the brief order for confession and forgiveness of sins, I'm in bondage to sin. I cannot be free myself. In fact, the confession and forgiveness that we have is Scripture itself. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, Jesus, is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Merciful Father, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, and soul. We confess that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have sinned by what we've done. We have sinned by what we have failed to do. And so we pray for your mercy. That's what we ask for in the confession of forgiveness. We acknowledge the truth. We confess the truth. So how free are we? You know, when I am battling pancreatic cancer, I wake up in the morning, I have a ritual, a routine, and my wife will say to me, "So, what would you like for breakfast today?" Now, it sounds like, doesn't it, that the sky's the limit. I mean, she'll even be willing to go down to the grocery store and say, "Well, if you want an omelet and we don't have eggs, I'll go get some eggs." But we all know that it's based upon circumstances or limits. We have choices, right? In the midst of the will that God has given us in creation and in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we know that we have freedom and we have choices. It's kind of like a menu selection. But if you go into the restaurant, sometimes you'll say, "Oh, I want to get this off the menu," and your waiter or waitress may say, "Ha, I'm sorry, but we just offered the last serving of that. We're all out of it." Well, wait a minute. It's on the menu. Don't I have a choice? Can't I exercise my free will? But you see, there's limits, aren't there? I may want a particular kind of cereal, but it may not be in the cupboard, and it may not even be in the grocery store. Or it could be as simple as with cancer, you have to watch your protein intake. You have to watch how much fat you have in your food. You have to also watch the potassium, and you get what I'm getting at, right? I mean, so in other words, as much as we want to make choices and we want to exercise our wills, there are limits, aren't there? Just like in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve in God's image and created them to be under him, not to be equal with him, and certainly not for us to become gods. Created a little lower than the angels, to be sure, but not created to be self-made gods. So how free are we? Think about in the beginning what happened there. How God created everything so wonderful and perfect and said, "Have at it. Take care of creation." And then there was, we are told, this crafty creature in the garden, a snake, a serpent, who whispered in the ear of Eve. And Adam was there too. And eventually the whispering became loud noises and deceptive words. "Wow, look at this garden," the snake said. "This is impressive. Look at all these trees. Look at all this fruit. Look at all this food." And then the serpent says, "Did God say that you couldn't have any of this food? That you couldn't have any of this fruit?" Eve, in defense of God, says, "Oh, no, no, we can eat away at this. But there's just one rule. We can't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's forbidden. The day we eat of it, we're going to die. We can't even touch it." You see what the devil did? The devil got Adam and Eve to question the word of God, the authority of God's word. They were inviting Adam and Eve not to trust their Creator God. And Eve was defending God. "No, no, we're okay." And you know what the serpent said, of course. The serpent said, "That's a big fat lie. God's a control freak. God made you like a bunch of mindless puppets or robots on the strings. That's a lie. You're not going to die. You know what's going to happen when you eat that fruit? You're going to be just like God. You're going to be equal to God. You'll be your own God. Won't that be wonderful? You won't have anybody telling you what to do. You won't have anybody bullying you." Well, you know the rest of the story, right? Did Adam and Eve listen to the one who created them in his own image? The one who created them with a will that would will to do, to obey what their Creator had commanded? "Father knows best. Trust me," God says. And they don't. And we don't. How free are we? How free am I? How free are you? Do we trust God for everything? You see, apart from Jesus Christ and the saving grace of God and faith, saving faith in the name of Jesus, we don't have any freedom at all. Well, Luther would say we've got choices on the things below, what we want to have for breakfast or lunch or supper, what we want to wear, what whether we do virtual worship or whether we do in-person and physically distance and the wearing of masks, etc., right? I mean, we've got choices to be sure, inclinations, desires. But is our will free when it comes to matters of salvation? Martin Luther said no. When it comes to salvation, it's the will of God. We confess it. In the Small Catechism, Luther wrote, for example, his meaning to Article 3, "I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith." That's what God does. What God requires, God provides for us. He gives us the face of Christ. He gives us the forgiveness of sins. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us his will so that we can, in fact, pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What a giver God is. Our gracious Father who says, "Trust me, Father knows best." Our Father who says that my sons and my daughters, the redeemed people in Christ, they have a permanent place in the Father's house. Jesus says in John chapter 14, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. They know me, they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Jesus, the holy words of God in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through Jesus, through the Word, God said. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And then it says he came to his own, but his own wouldn't receive him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of the blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will of God. Such is the grace of God for you and for me, that frees us indeed, that proves to the world that we are his disciples, because we stay and remain and abide, to be continued, in the Word of God. And the Scriptures tell us that this Word of God, this promising Word of God, this eternal gospel is Jesus Christ. So how free are we? Well, completely free in and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on a Good Friday cross. And on an empty Sunday morning, we call Easter, when the tomb is empty because it's filled with the resurrected one. How free are we? You see, God wants to pursue us. God is not about to abandon us. When God starts something like the promise of grace, go back to the Garden of Eden. What happened after Adam and Eve disobeyed God? After they overreached, and after Adam and Eve tried to climb and be equal to God, to be their own gods? Well, their eyes were opened, and they were filled with shame and guilt, and they hid themselves, and then there was the blaming, and there was the consequences. But even in the garden, God clothed his chosen ones with animal skins. And even in the garden, there was a promise made, the promise about Jesus, the promise about the eternal gospel. You know the promise. From your seed, Adam and Eve, there's going to come a Savior, a Messiah, and he's going to stomp on the head of the seed of the serpent and destroy sin and death forever. Trust me. And God's word come to fruition. God even had to take Adam and Eve out of the garden. Why? Because of grace, lest they continue in the Garden of Eden and they eat the forbidden fruit. Well, actually, the promised fruit. You see, there was another tree there called the tree of life, Jesus, the wisdom from above. We hear about it, for example, in the book of Proverbs. Jesus, the tree of life, the water of life. And if Adam and Eve had remained in the garden, then they would have remained dead to God, dead in the relationship with God, disobedient. They would have lived forever, in other words, captive to sin, without the possibility of being set free by the truth and the way and the life by Jesus himself. You see, God's grace is all over the place. Recently, and maybe you heard this story, Mason City, Iowa, a little 2-year-old boy. We're all going to follow somebody, folks. And this little boy, he followed his dog. And straight away from this rural house, the farmhouse, out near Mason City, Iowa. And the parents, of course, were frantic, and they called the police, and there were people looking all over. They brought in a drone so that they could try to find this missing 2-year-old. But he wasn't found until they brought a canine dog in by the name of Kilo. And do you know how he found this boy? With the scent. Dogs are really good at smelling. And so they were able to pick up the scent of this little 2-year-old boy. He was down, sitting on a cinder block. Shoes and socks were off, the coat was off. Evidently, he had gotten into the water, maybe fallen in. By the grace of God, didn't drown. By the grace of God, was found, because we have a pursuing God, a God who has placed the scent, the aroma of Jesus Christ, his saving grace on you and on me. God begins and God continues to pour his grace, his Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus on us, the daily forgiveness of sin. With repentant hearts, day after day, we come before God because we keep straying. We keep falling away like this little two-year-old boy following his dog and getting lost and almost dying. But the scent, the aroma of Christ, brings hope and promise. Because God has an eternal word, an eternal gospel for you and for me. And that truth that sets us free, that proves to the world that we are disciples, that we are abiding and remaining and continuing, that truth is Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. No one comes to the Father, Jesus says, except through me. No one enters the sheepfold, Jesus says, except through me, the door of the sheepfold. How free are we? Apart from Christ, we have no freedom at all. In Christ, we have absolute freedom in the truth. I'm a sinner, and Jesus died for sinners like me. Do you remember what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 7? You know, he has this amazing portfolio. I mean, he's done everything, right, to be proud of, pat himself on the back. But he calls it all scubala, a pile of dung. And then he says, I can will the good. It's a beautiful thing when we're talking about free will and captive will and what it means to be a slave of sin or a son and daughter in the household of God. Because in Romans 7, Paul says, after he's already gone over the landscape and said, no one is righteous, no, not one, all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Game over. But the free gift of God is eternal life and eternal gospel for you and for me. So he's already said this, and now in Romans 7 he says, so I can will the good. I have this inclination. I have this desire. I want to do what's right. And I know God shows me in his word what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. But no matter how hard I try, Paul says, I keep messing up. I can't do it. I can't save myself. And then he makes this proclamation. You know it. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he answers his own cry. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knows that apart from Jesus, we're captive to sin. And Paul knows that in Christ Jesus, we receive the will of God, the Holy Spirit, the grace and mercy of Jesus, that we're set free indeed. Free indeed. I want to close with a story about Corrie ten Boom. She and her sister Betsy, the father, they lived in Holland. I think you've maybe read stories like The Hiding Place or Tramp for the Lord. This is an episode from their lives after they had helped to hide and rescue dozens, hundreds of Jews that were trying to escape Hitler's madness and the evil of World War II. And then they were caught. Betsy and Corrie were taken to Ravensbrück, a terrible concentration camp. In fact, the first night that they were there, the first 2 days they were there, it rained, cats and dogs. It just poured out, and mud was everywhere, and all of the people that had been brought on the train had to be outdoors in the rain and in the mud. And then they finally got a chance then to go into this barrack that was built for 400 women, but they had 1,400 women in it, filled with fleas. They were forced to work every day, and if you did hard labor, you got a little bit of thin soup and maybe a little piece of bread. If you did easy work, you didn't get fed at all. It was, Corrie ten Boom said, hell on earth. And then Betsy, she noticed, because Betsy always had poor health, she noticed that it was creating an environment where everyone was against each other. So much division. They didn't have any sense of peace, and so Betsy was praying for the other prisoners and for peace in the barracks. And her prayers were answered. People became more cooperative, and they were able to see the providence of God even in the midst of Hitler's hell. They were able to see God sustaining them. Betsy needed vitamin drops. And by the grace of God, Corrie, her sister, was able to smuggle in a Bible and also vitamin drops. I mean, when they were going through and they had to strip down and everything, it was just a miracle of God that they didn't confiscate and find the vial of vitamin drops and the Bible. And so they started to share devotions in their barracks, and they had prayer time together. The soldiers wouldn't come in because of all the fleas. The fleas were actually a providence of God as well. And then they found that other people needed vitamins too. And so Corrie started sharing it with the other prisoners, the other women there. And they couldn't figure out how this bottle, where's this oil coming from? And the vitamins, you know? And then it was Betsy who said, well, remember Elijah and the widow of Zarephath? And how the oil never ran out? It's God, even in the midst of all of this terrible suffering. God is present. He gave Betsy visions. And Betsy shared the visions with her sister Corrie and said, God has told me that when this is all over, we need to travel around the world and we need to proclaim his goodness. We need to tell people how wonderful God is, how faithful God is, even in the midst of all the pain and suffering that comes our way. We need to be tramps for the Lord, Corrie. Well, you know that Betsy died in Ravensbrück. One day her bed was empty. The day before, she had been terribly beaten because the guard said she wasn't working hard enough. And then the next day after Betsy had died, Corrie's name was called at roll call. And she said, that either means I'm going to be shot or killed. And she began to pray for the mercy of God. And instead they called it her name and they said, released. She was given clothes. She was put on a train and sent back to her home in Holland. She found out afterwards that it was an error, a mistake. Not to God, but a mistake on the part of the Ravensbrück concentration camp. And that 1 week later, all the women that were Corrie's age were put to death. How free are we? How free are you? How free am I? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Abiding, continuing, remaining in God's word. Jesus, we are free indeed, even in the midst of so much suffering and pain, COVID-19 and cancer and so much divisiveness in our country and in our world. You see, Christ is our only hope of salvation. We wanted to climb up to God, right? We wanted to overreach. And what does God do for us? He comes down. We call it the incarnation. He comes down to us in the flesh of his son, Jesus, to forgive us our sins, to set us free from sin and death and the power of the devil, to fill us with his goodness and grace, so that we can receive him. Even our receiving is the work of God. So that we can in fact be born again. So that we can be saved. And so that we, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, can pray, May this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. Free indeed. Continue in the word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our service continues on page 9 of our liturgy. An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through. Great and mighty are you, O Holy One. Strong is your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lowly one, humbling the proud of heart. You have cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart. You have filled the hungry with wondrous things and left the wealthy no part. Great and mighty are you, O faithful one. Strong is your justice, strong your love. As you promised to Sarah and Abraham, kindness forevermore. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here, and bless me all my life through. Glory be to God the Father, and to Jesus, Son of God. Glory be to God the Spirit, ever three and ever one. As it was in the beginning, shall be now and evermore. With our hearts we magnify thee, with one voice we sing, Amen. I remind you that during these days of COVID-19 and physical distancing, that we are not passing offering baskets, but the basket is in the back, or people can choose to support the congregation and its ministry in other ways. Want to also remind you that our newsletter for November is available in print. I sent it out electronically as well, but if you'd like to receive a printed copy, it's available. And this next coming week, we'll also be sending your way the prayer calendar, so you can watch for that as well. We close with our closing prayers.
God of mercy, hold us in love. In peace, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace and salvation, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern, that justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Help us, comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Gracious Father, we give you thanks and praise for the good news that Luke Richards has received, being cancer-free. We praise you, O Lord, and ask that you would continue to use him and his family to serve your holy purposes here on earth. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, for the family and friends of Russell Wagner and Jeff Parks. Comfort, O Lord, we pray, those who grieve. We pray for McKenna Studer. We pray, Lord, that you would be with her as she continues to recover from COVID-19 and as she battles leukemia. And Lord, we pray also that you would be with Kathy Thorson as she heals from her knee surgery. Cindy Steinick as she battles COVID-19. Little Lily Joe and her family, Jeff and Kari and Elijah Campbell. Little Lily's only 6, Lord, and she's got COVID-19. And others have been exposed as well. So we pray, Lord, for healing and for grace. We pray for South Zumbro Lutheran Church in rural Kasson as they ordain Jeff Bernards and Pete Wittenbach tomorrow, that these servants entrusted with your eternal gospel would be faithful to abiding in your word. We thank you, Lord, for those who celebrate birthdays, and we pray for all who are battling cancer and its devastation. Lord, keep us always in faith, in grace, in you, and in your word. And teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive the blessing.
Let us bless the Lord.
praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our sending song, Three Verses of Salvation, unto us has come.
Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our mediator. Faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in Him unceasing. And by its fruit true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify, work, serve our neighbor, and supply the proof that faith is living. O blessing, honor, thanks and praise to God the Father, Son, and Spirit,
the God who saved us by His grace.
All glory to His merit. O triune God, in heaven above,